Well, greetings and welcome. It is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you, the Take Two family. As always, this is your program, and we are looking forward to a wonderful conversation today, a part two from yesterday's topic on the Eucharist, our love for the Eucharist and how much it means in our lives. I am Jerry Usher.
And I'm Debbie Giorgiani.
Hey, it worked.
It did work. That's because we're sitting right next to each other.
We're usually not sitting right next to each other. But there's a reason we are.
Because we're on location for the Advent Mission here in Sun City West, Arizona. You guys could cheer for the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace parishioners have all come out for the Advent Mission, and we are having just a glorious time. We had two great nights, and this is our final night tonight, and we thought we would do the show in the beautiful St. Michael's Hall, and we have a wonderful audience watching us. We're sitting next to each other. You're not in California any longer. Do you like Arizona?
I love Arizona. I love coming to this area.
We would like you to move here, wouldn't we? Wouldn't that be great?
Okay, I'll think about it.
Okay, all right. I'll put you on the spot.
Yeah.
But it is part two of the Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith. We had full phone lines yesterday, so we called a part two. And ask you to please call in again and share your thoughts, your experience, your understanding, how much you want to talk about the Eucharist, what you want to share with the world. And special shout outs to Ann in Buffalo, Valerie in Louisiana, Sherry in Florida, Karen in Texas, Angie and the others. If you could please call back, Matt Gabinski will happily put you at the front of the line. Here is the number, 833-288-3986.
Yes, you go right to the head of the line if you were on yesterday and didn't get on the air. And what we're also going to do is, with the help and participation of the great folks here at Prince of Peace Catholic Parish in Sun City West, Arizona, we're going to allow them to join in on the conversation as well. We have a microphone set up. So as we get the show going, if any of you feel like commenting on the Eucharist, how much it means in your life, maybe you do Eucharistic adoration and that's changed your life in some way. We're just talking about love of the Eucharist today, so we will weave in some of the local folks here as well. But for those of you listening, it is 833-288-3986. You can email take2@ewtn.com. You can post your comments on the social media streaming. We're streaming the video on Facebook and YouTube. Hello to all of you folks. Great to have you with us. And also, you can post on the show website, take2show.com. And if you want to text us, you can text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Put in your comment, your first name and your comment. And there might be a small data rate depending on your plan. But Debbie and I can't hide. There's dozens of ways people get a hold of us. Phone, email, text, social media, websites, you know. So,
and they do.
And they do.
We just don't always get back with everybody because it's overwhelming at times. But we read everything, so please understand that. The Take Two family is growing each and every day. Yesterday, I had given a kind of a homework assignment. I hope you all read the paragraphs 1322 to 1419 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church all about the Eucharist so we can recatechize ourselves. It's very important. Also, too, we got a clarification and that, what is it, 70% in Pew Research, 70% do not...
Of Catholics.
Do not accept and believe the real presence, that Jesus is actually present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Most Holy Eucharist. That's alarming.
Well, it's very alarming, and I think we need to take it with at least a half a grain of salt because you don't know how they word the question. Sometimes they kind of want to steer people in a certain direction, but at the same time, even if it's anywhere near 70% of Catholics who do not understand or believe that Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, that is cause for alarm, absolutely. So that is why we're doing a show like this. We have Sherry has called back from yesterday. Anne, Valerie, Karen, and Angie were also waiting at the end of the program yesterday. You'll go to the head of the line as well. But anybody else, if you're just hearing this show for the first time, you didn't hear part one yesterday, call in and share your thoughts, your love, your devotion, your gratitude to Jesus for the gift of the Eucharist. 833-288-3986.
It's important that you weigh in on this conversation that we're having because what you share today can help other souls that are listening. Somebody may be just tripping onto the radio station, tuning in, and they're kind of wondering how they fit into the Catholic Church, you know, what it means to be Catholic, you know, can they be a cafeteria Catholic, or do they have to accept everything? And what you have to say by your experience of being an authentic Catholic can really help other souls. So we're going to ask you right now, if you feel prompted by the Spirit, and that includes all of you in the live audience right now, if you feel prompted by the Spirit, please act on that and say something that you know that could possibly help other souls. It's very important. That's the mystical body of Christ in action. We're called to help each other, support one another, catechize, to form one another, to encourage others, inspire as well. So please don't sit back and think somebody else can do it, or somebody's a better speaker than you are, or they can say it more eloquently. God is maybe calling you or tapping you through your guardian angel, probably, to say something. So, and normally in 6.5 years, we have never, ever been disappointed, have we, with calls?
Never. The depth of the calls is really remarkable on this program, and that's just a testament to you, the Take-Two family, and how seriously you take your faith. So we look forward to hearing from many of you. A couple of phone lines still open. We'll get to your calls here in just a couple of minutes. The number again is 833-288-3986. Before we go to the break and then get to the calls, I want to thank Father David Osler, the pastor at Prince of Peace Catholic Church, for having us here for the Advent Parish Mission. Father Mike, the associate pastor, and Will Wright, who is the director of Sacred Liturgy here and has just gone way beyond the call of duty to accommodate us, especially here. Yeah, let's go ahead.
Will.
Let's have a hand for Will. You guys,
Will is awesome.
All that Will does for you to help make liturgy beautiful, and liturgy is beautiful here at Prince of Peace Catholic Church, as is the beautiful St. John Paul II
Adoration Chapel.
Isn't that nice?
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I said to my husband, Marty, I said, we need to maybe think about maybe relocating from Gilbert to Sun City West. You may see us. You'll be walking through the parish and go, they're here. They stayed. It's
She's
so
not
beautiful.
Gone.
Yeah, I'm not gone, right? Okay, the number to dial, we have 2 open phone lines. Come on, you guys, fill those last 2 phone lines if you feel the prompting of the Spirit at 833-288-3986. And talk about the Eucharist today with us on Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie. Hope you join us on this discussion about the Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith. We're going to get to the phones. We do have 1 open phone line, so that is for you. Pick up that last line. Matt Kabinski's waiting to talk to you. There it goes. I love the Take-Two family. You guys are so awesome. We're waving to you again. I understand the chats are going strong on YouTube and Facebook.
Good.
So hi, you guys, in the Inspired by Faith Book and Fellowship Club as well. They were super excited that we were actually going to be together, not on a split screen, but sharing a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we're kind of sort of socially distanced, too, so we're doing that properly. Before we get to the phones, let me just share this. Very important. EWTN has you covered. Listen to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass celebrated every 2 hours, plus rosaries, chaplets, Stations of the Cross, and other devotionals every hour. You can hear EWTN Radio Essentials on the EWTN app and at EWTN.com. That is amazing. Every 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Okay, we do have full phone lines, and we're with a live studio, not a studio audience, a parish hall audience at Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Sun City West, Arizona. Debbie and I completing a parish mission that we've been presenting. Beautiful attendance, and just great to be with all of the folks here. Wraps up tonight, so please keep us and all of the attendees in your prayers. And I think we're ready to go to the telephone.
That was just so funny because I said the live audience. You're very much alive, folks.
Yeah.
Very much alive. Live studio audience.
Yeah.
There you go. We're all alive and alive in Christ,
Amen.
Right?
Yeah. Amen.
Okay, so where are we going first? Are we going to our live studio audience or our phones?
Let's take Sherry because she called back from yesterday.
Absolutely. Sherry, thank you so much for answering back and the shout-out that we gave to you from St. Petersburg, Florida, listening on EWTN.com. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for calling back.
So, thank you. I guess because this is such a near and dear thing to my heart, I just thought, okay, well, if it's, you know, God's will or whatever, then I would be happy to share. But I am a revert to the Catholic Church that, you know, my mother, mom and dad raised, you know, us going to Catholic school, going to all the Mass on Sunday and all that, and, you know, fell away. And until my family was in, like, you know, a 10th degree alarm of chaos and disorder, you know, I didn't come back. And I started, you know, through, like, non-denominational and trying to find my way. And it wasn't until in a very small town in Crested Butte, Colorado, a woman gave me the key to the church. And I would just be there in front of the tabernacle, you know, a pile on the floor. And, you know, and just gradually, like, the Lord just bringing me back into his fold. And so, anyway, kind of a long story. So, you know, trying to, like, wrap up the basics of it. I went to a retreat in Malvern with, what's her name? Jeanette, thank you. Can't remember. But Williams now, which is my maiden name, too. But I was there at that conference, and this Catholic Women's Conference, and somebody gave me a rosary, and this woman told me, pray your rosary every day, and it'll change your life. And she, you know, brought me back to coming to Mass and becoming a daily non-communicant at first. And then, you know, believing that was all I would ever be, was coming there and continuing to just receive a blessing at communion. And gradually, you know, I felt like maybe that wasn't enough. You know, maybe the Lord was asking me to also work on an annulment, you know, that I had been married years before. And so, you know, that process of just gently, like one day at a time, like the way babies are formed, where it's just tiny, tiny movements, he just continued to lead me. And my husband at the time was a staunch hater of the Catholic Church. And, you know, I never believed, even in going through the annulment process, that I would ever have my marriage convalidated, that we would ever receive communion together. You know, it just was never something that I would have expected. And, you know, but God is so good and so gracious that he took my little cold water, you know, contribution of coming to him day after day, and changed our world, changed our marriage, changed our family. And you know, now after him also going through a process of an annulment, you know, have had our marriage convalidated, and it's, you know, been like 6 years for that. And I mean, it's just, I feel like so unworthy, but, you know, every time the priest holds up the Eucharist and he says, you know, behold the Lamb of God, I see him beholding each and every one of us, you know, mm-hmm. and seeing us like today, you know, like he's got the 99 and he's always in search of the one. He's always like seeking us out and drawing us to him and asking us to come more deeply into him. And so the Eucharist for me is that, you know, I also became a Third Order Franciscan. And one of the things, the lines I read in formation was that we receive the Holy Eucharist so that then we can become the Holy Eucharist. And my husband and I initially, you know, we're our own family. We had five daughters, and they were not all, you know, like, they weren't Catholic. They weren't all coming into the Catholic Church or agreeing with any, you know, anything that these parents were leading them with. Mm-hmm. And so we took to prison ministry and thought that, you know, where we can't love on our own daughters, that we would love somebody else's daughter, somebody else's mother, sister, and, you know, and brought Eucharist to the jail. And that has been, like, all the difference in our life, where I think it's become full throttle for me, that I see that, you know, this small gift that the Lord gives us for each of our own, you know, walk and healing that we need also becomes now this greater mission field of where he calls us to go forth and to be that light of his into this world where, you know, there's such cynicism and such skepticism and, you know, and starting with our own families, but then just kind of vibrating outward, you know, that we become his daily bread.
That's right. Sherry, what a beautiful call. You got a beautiful, grateful heart. It comes through loud and clear. And as you were talking, you know, I'm reminded of how we understand the relationship between Jesus and his bride. You know, it's nuptial imagery. It's marital imagery where Jesus has wed himself to the church, to us. And his gift to us as a result of that is the Eucharist. And the Eucharist, we call it the source and summit of our faith. And, you know, you have given, I'm sure, so much hope and encouragement to people who are listening right now, Sherry, because there are a lot of people in difficult, challenging marriages and situations, life circumstances, and you trusted, you prayed, you waited on the Lord, and look at the graces and blessings he's brought not only into your lives, but through you and your husband into the lives of many other people. So I think it's beautiful.
I totally agree. I can't add anything to that, Sherry, but you could just feel and hear the love and the gratitude that you have and the miraculous ways it has manifested in your life and your marriage. God bless you. You know, we just pray that continued blessings on you, your family. I mean, it's just amazing. God is ready, willing, and able to pour out those blessings, and we just have to spend the time with him and develop our relationship. And like my sister always says, fall in love with God, right? Fall in love with Jesus. And it's so important. And you could hear it. I agree with Jerry. Your heart is just bursting with love for God.
Thank you. Yes. Praise God.
Praise God. Yep.
Praise
Amen.
God indeed. Thank you for calling, Sherry.
Thanks,
appreciate
Sherry.
That very, very much. This is part two of our conversation from yesterday about the Holy Eucharist, how much we love it, need it, appreciate it. And if anybody here in our hall here at Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Sun City West, if you'd like to share a comment or ask a question, the microphone is right there, ready and waiting for you. Those of you listening, Sherry's line is now available at 833-288-3986, 833-288-EWTN. And we do have somebody
Marianne.
Here. Marianne is with us. Hold on, let me get this set up. There you go, Marianne. How are you?
I'm just fine. And what this brought up to me is I actually went ahead and went to the jails and prisons, actually, and did ministry there. And one of the things I found that was really heartwarming was the fact that you need to get to know the person. And how do you do that? Not in a group. So I asked, and I got special permission, and I actually got their life's history. Who was your mother? Who was your father? All this business. And all of a sudden, I saw it go through this whole jail, which was only like a 45-man jail. Mm-hmm. Well, there were women, too. And it was just, I would cry because one day one of them said to me, "You are the handmaid of the Lord." Aww. And that was just, I can't explain it.
Yeah. Well, you were being Christ to them, Marianne, and you valued their existence and you honored their dignity and you asked about their life, their family. And so did you find that it helped them to talk about it? Did you find that
they revealed
things?
Everything.
Exactly.
Absolutely everything. And I told them that's all confidential, so you don't have to worry about it, because I even was given the permission to go into the room where the lawyers come in and just, you know, work
talk
with them.
With
so
them.
That's where I would do a lot of the things. But I was actually able to bring communion into the...
Wow.
Into the... And to see them, yeah. I mean, it was...
Well, it's a great gift, and Marianne, as you're getting emotional, it's easy to understand. You know, and they have a story to tell, you know, and there's no way they get no chance to tell their story to anyone. Their story being, you know, here, this is my family. This is who I love. This is where I come from. You know, everybody has their own personal story to tell. And, you know, we try and allow people to do that on this radio show. And I had a dear friend I mentioned on the show before, who was falsely accused of molesting his adopted son, spent 7 years in prison. And we remained very, very close, and I got to visit many, many times, and it just really changed my understanding of prisoners and prisons and the needs that are there, because they are, the spiritual needs are really true and they're real. And so when you bring the Eucharist to them, I'm sure that they are just amazingly grateful for that.
Yes, that is so. And the thing of it is that I told them I never wanted them to just say, well, I just do this for a living, you know, like dig ditches. I says, it takes every person, whatever they're doing, is God needs that person to carry on all these different things, mm-hmm. to make the circle of life.
Right. Everybody has a role. Yeah.
Everybody has a role.
But Marian, you bringing the Eucharist to these prisoners, you brought Christ to them, and it connects them to the body of Christ. That is so important. That's a lifeline. And I just want to thank you. Jerry's heard me say this so many times. I think those that enter into prison ministry, you have to have a very special, caring heart. You have to really connect soul to soul. And I could tell by talking with you, Marianne, you have that. And it's so beautiful. So thank you for the ministry
thank
work you.
You
do.
Thank you very much. All right, 833-288-3986. Looks like Raymond is next in Hollister, Missouri, listening on EWTN.com. Hello, Raymond.
Hey, Raymond's here.
How are you?
I'm just fine, but I'm very upset that the Catholics don't believe in the Eucharist as the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the premise of our Catholic faith. Yeah. I mean, how can you call yourself Catholic if you don't believe what Jesus said? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. And back in his day, when he told that to his apostles and his disciples, they should say half of them walked away because they would not believe that. Well, yeah. Be Catholic, we believe it totally. I mean, that was basic my faith. I can go on and on here about that, but...
The thing is, Raymond, you're making a great point. Jesus did go on and on about his flesh is real food, his blood is real drink.
That's right.
And you're right that so many of his followers decided to leave him at that time. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Debbie, it's the only time in Scripture that we see followers of Jesus turn away from him over one of his teachings. And he even asks, you know, the apostles, you know, do you also want to leave me? You know, and I heard Scott Hahn one time joke. He said St. Peter's response is, Lord, to whom shall we go? It's almost like if you want to suggest an alternative Messiah, we're open to one right now. But, you know, thanks be to God, you know, the apostles stayed with him over this. And mm-hmm. I agree with Raymond very much. How can, you know, one really can't call himself or herself fully Catholic?
Well, like other faiths, people like to culturally call themselves something culturally Catholic, or then there's the term, you know, there's cafeteria Catholics, there's some that just have a family history of being Catholic. But Raymond, let's talk about this just a little bit more. Can you hang on with us? I know you waited so long to get on the show, but I just want a couple comments about what you're saying, because I think that's a hot button right now in the world, where people are saying, well, you can't tell me I can't say that I'm Catholic, you know, what do I have to accept every single thing? The Catholic Church is huge. I can't accept everything. I can still call myself Catholic. Let's talk about that a little bit more, Raymond. If you can hang on the other side of this break, we'll come back and finish up with that. And maybe we could inspire some souls today to go deeper and be authentically Catholic. On Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We'll be right back. Part two of our discussion on the Eucharist, And we are talking with Raymond in Missouri. And Raymond, thank you so much for holding on. I just wanted to say real quickly about this idea of folks identifying as Catholic but not fully accepting all of the teachings of the Catholic faith. It's very unfortunate, Raymond, because we have been given so much in the Catholic faith. And because of that, we are expected to learn our faith, to form ourselves in the faith, to grow deeper in the faith, and then we are going to have to give an account, right, when we leave this world, when we leave this life. And we're going to have to give an account to that, and a lot is going to be expected of us. My heart breaks for those that identify as Catholic but only accept a small portion of the faith, because they're going to have to give an account. And it's important. And yes, we belong to a very big faith, 2,000 years, right? But it's so beautiful because it just allows us to constantly grow and constantly fall in love. But we have to put that effort into developing that relationship with Jesus. That's why adoration, that's why prayer, that's why frequent receiving of Holy Communion, so important, and to enter into that sacredness in a special way. And I think we've lost a lot of that, Raymond. What do you think in this world? I personally think when I see there's just a general, I say malaise, is that the proper word, of what's happening with people's relationship with the Catholic Church. What do you think?
Well, I think we always have to preserve the dogma of faith, and unfortunately, sometimes we even look at the Pope and say, hey, you know, he's getting a little weak in here just to get more followers. And I'm thinking, especially when it comes to the Eucharist, if there's only a few of us left that want to be considered Catholic the way the Lord established his church here on earth, we were told if we are committed to our religion, it will never go away. It will always be with us. And I think, and I pray very much at the Vatican and all the bishops and the cardinals will understand this, that what the Lord said, we have to always remain true to the interpretations of the enlightened men that put this book together. You know, the book of Bible has been put together by the Catholics. We're the ones that started it. And, you know.
Right. Well, Raymond, well, your point is good, and the thing is, you know, there are over a billion Catholics in the world, and if 100 of them maintain belief in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist and the other however many hundreds of millions denied or didn't believe in that, it's still the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. In fact, if every Catholic on the face of the earth, which will never happen because we have the census, you know, census fidei, the sense of the faithful, it's never going to be totally abandoned, but you know, it's that's why we take some of these polls, you know, with a grain of salt, because so what if 70% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence? It's tragic. It's awful. We've had poor catechesis. I feel sorry for these people, but I choose to believe in the real presence in the Eucharist, and Debbie, you do, and mm-hmm. the people who are here with us do. So that belief is never going to change. Truth is not dependent upon a majority believing it. So you've made a lot of great points, Raymond, and we'll let you go on that because we've got a lot of calls to get to, and we are on location at Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Sun City West, Arizona, and I think we have some other folks who might want to approach the microphone. So thank you, Raymond, for your call. We appreciate that very much.
That was a great call. Yeah. Did you have a comment about Marianne came to the microphone and shared about prison ministry, and you had a comment come in?
Yeah, we got an email from a gentleman named John, and he says, I just wanted to say thank you to the lady who called about prison ministry. Well, she was on location here, John, with us. John says, for a while, I've had that thought on my heart and have prayed about it. I've been a little lost for a while and asked our Lord for direction. I believe my prayer was just answered. God bless. And that's from John. Isn't that sweet, Marianne?
Mm-hmm. See how it works?
Yeah, this is how this program works. Mm-hmm. Debbie calls it soul-to-soul ministry, peer ministry, and so beautiful. Okay, but your name, please, first. Is it Sandy?
Sandy.
Sandy, okay, good.
So we have here at Prince of Peace the beautiful St. Pope John Paul II Adoration Chapel. And when it first opened some years ago, a lady took a picture of the monstrance. She got the picture developed, and when she got that picture back, there was a flame that was coming out of the host. And so how could people not believe in the body and blood of Jesus being present in that host after seeing a picture like that? And when I enlarged that flame, I saw like a little red dot, and as I enlarged it, it looked like the heart. Mm. So to the people, 70% that don't believe, that's proof right there.
Yeah, Debbie is huge on Eucharistic miracles. I am too, but I'll let you comment first because...
I saw the picture, Sandy. Thank you so much. And when Sandy did make it bigger, I immediately said, that's the heart. I mean, you could just see it. And but, you know, the interesting thing about Eucharistic miracles is this is how much our God loves us, right? He has to give us these miracles so that we can believe, right? But what does Scripture say? Happy are those who haven't seen and believe, right? So the interesting thing about it is our Lord is giving us every opportunity to enter deeply into the mystery of the Eucharist. And he even gives us these tangible miracles, right? Where they test it's a heart muscle and the blood type of Jesus, and it's scientifically tested. Why do we need that? Isn't it so beautiful? If we know it as Catholics, all we have to do is actually practice it. We have to practice it because I always say in life coaching, practice makes permanent. Okay, we always heard practice makes perfect, practice makes permanent. And if we constantly practice this idea and we really enter deeply into the mystery, we will see ourselves change and others will change around us. And that's what we just heard from our first caller, Sherry. Look how it changed her family, mm-hmm. her marriage. And that's the beauty, the transformative powers of the Eucharist. So thank you, Sandy, for sharing that story about, you know, that's a local, like I think, a little local miracle right here.
Yeah, well, it's like Jesus said, you know, here's what I've done for you, and he shows us a crucifix, and then we somehow, our faith or belief wanes a little bit, and he says, okay, well, here, I'll show you this now.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
All right, here, I'll give you this sign now. Okay, I'll give you this sign. Mm-hmm. So, good stuff. Thank you again, Sandy. We're going to go to Ann in Buffalo. Ann called back from yesterday in Buffalo listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling back.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Actually, I want to mention also that the woman that mentioned prison ministry, I'm really grateful for that too, because I've been actually considering Eucharistic minister and been talking about that. But when she said that, I'm like, that mm-hmm. sounds like something I'd be into. But so I just wanted to mention that real quick.
It's beautiful. But, thank you.
Yeah, that was nice. I just, you know, yesterday I actually took note, Debbie, when you mentioned I always, when I go up and receive, I don't really, you know, I try to talk to God and Jesus, but I wanted more direction on what to say as a prayer and you know, that Padre Pio prayer, I took note of that, that you mentioned before the show ended, and I don't know. I struggle with when I go up. It's like I want to feel the Holy Spirit or Jesus, and you know, because of the magnitude of what we're receiving.
Right.
It just could use
sure.
a little guidance.
Sure.
Helping the worldly receiving to feeling it.
Absolutely.
As it flesh. And,
yeah, and that your question is asked often by people that are in sacramental prep, so it's a very good question, and I think it's worth talking about. And just for our listeners who didn't catch yesterday's show, the prayer I was talking about after communion is Padre Pio's prayer, and it starts with "Stay with me." It's a pretty long prayer, and it's Padre Pio's prayer after communion. Boy, that's a mouthful. And it's "Stay with me," and it's a beautiful, beautiful prayer, and that's for after communion. But Anne is talking about as you're approaching to receive the Eucharist. And I'm not saying you should do what I do, but this is what I truly believe when I've spent many years in sacramental prep, and that is that it's less about a feeling and more about a knowing. Okay, so walking up and taking that time and reminding yourself, who you are receiving. Remind yourself who has just been called back to the altar during the consecration. Jesus. I get to receive Jesus inside my body. That's what I think about. Less of a feeling, more of a knowing. And then I would also add to that, Anne, that your guardian angel is right next to you, praying alongside you, with you, for you, and is helping you with the experience. So ask your guardian angel to really illuminate your mind in that and let you really have a real complete knowing of who you are receiving. That's what I do. It has always had me very, very close. See, I can feel the Holy Spirit right now, and I'm getting emotional. It has always allowed me to feel close to the Eucharist and to never doubt. And I'm so grateful for that. Because I don't know how I would be in this world if I doubted. I'm so happy that I have never doubted, and I feel good about that. What do you do when you go to receive communion?
Well, when I at daily mass, I've shared this before. I don't know if all of my fellow parishioners know this, but I've take two with Jerry and Debbie at 9, and my daily mass is at 8. So I leave right as I receive communion. I'm on my way out of the church, but I pause before I leave and I have it consumed. But on my drive home to get ready for the show, I just say thank you Jesus, thank you dear Lord God, just the various forms of thank you, and I think if we grow in that gratitude for the Eucharist, there's no way our faith in the real presence could ever slip away from us.
I agree.
You know, gratitude keeps us grounded, I think. And mm-hmm. What do you think, Anne, of what Debbie or I shared?
Well, I think that's really beautiful, for one thing, about the guardian angels. I never even thought about that. Wow, what a beautiful thought.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that thank you to Jesus on the ride home. It's just, it's so simple and so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's
it
huge.
Yeah, but that's our God. I mean, if you look at the teachings of Mother Teresa, everything she ever wrote about or spoke about, it was always so simple, right? You guys are all nodding your head in the live studio audience. They're all nodding their head. It's so true. But how profound, how deep it was. And that's our God. And so I'm so happy you called in, because your question has probably helped thousands of people listening today. So thank you for calling back, Anne.
Oh, I'm glad to talk to you guys, and you gave me a lot of help here, and feeling of connection to God, even just asking. So I really appreciate it.
Praise God. Well, have a blessed day, Anne, and think of us with a short prayer the next time you receive communion. Would you do that for us?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. You'll be in our prayers too. Thank you, Anne in Buffalo. Wow, great stuff. Great calls and
amazing. Do we have more YouTube and Facebook? I know.
I wanted
coming.
To mention, yeah, Berta is watching the video stream on YouTube. Hi, Berta. She says, the only wise decision I have ever made is to attend daily mass at age 24. I am 64 now. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be attentive to your Holy Spirit and say yes. Frequent adoration is an infinite source of graces for me. The only tip or recipe I stress to those in need for any help is to draw closer to the Lord, especially in the Holy Eucharist.
Beautiful. I just wanted to share, we're talking about devotionals that can help us enter deeply into the mysteries and really get close to God. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Monday through Friday morning, 5 Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. You can join Catholics around the world as we recall in prayer the devotion of St. Faustina to our Lord. I love Jesus, I trust in you. I love Divine Mercy.
Mm,
you do
yeah.
too.
Pray it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes more than once if I can.
Oh, I know. It kind of gets stuck in your brain. Like mm-hmm. I find myself saying it all the time
mm-hmm.
for the sake of a sorrowful
yeah.
passion, don't you? Okay, where are we going next? Elaine?
Elaine, yes.
Okay.
In Marlboro, Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Elaine.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks for your patience and waiting to get on.
Oh, sure. So I love your show. You have changed my life and my world, and I just want to let you know, several years back, I was in a very difficult time in my life, and I know it was God that just gave me the biggest nudge of my life. And I stumbled upon your radio station, which just gave me so much of the fine details that I needed in a busy, busy time in my life, being a single mom and getting my kids through college. And then I stumbled upon, and it was no accident, but I stumbled upon the video that, you know, the Eucharistic miracles, the miracle of Lanciano. And I just dropped to my knees. Being a nurse for almost 40 years, you know, my dad was an engineer and pioneered one of the first artificial hearts in a cow, Lucy, out in Texas. And, you know, knowing the whole anatomy and physiology of the heart and, you know, practicing a career of nursing, to literally read about this miracle of Lanciano, Italy, was just, I mean, literally, I dropped to my knees and I could not stop crying. I believed that the Eucharist was really Jesus, but I guess not to the degree that I should have, you know. So when you say about receiving communion, and, you know, that's now so life-changing for me, because I would receive the Eucharist, but there was part of me that, I guess, now looking back, the belief wasn't complete. Not that it wasn't complete, but you know what I'm trying to say. It's just it's just so difficult to express when you see this documentary about the Eucharist and the being the real flesh and the real blood and myocardium tissue and the electrolytes that are so perfectly balanced in the blood. It's just mind changing and just such a beautiful expression of our faith. And I just hope everybody has a chance who's listening to just simply Google the miracle of Lanciano, Italy. And that first miracle with the monk is representative of the lance that pierced Jesus. And so that's why he chose this little town of Lanciano, Italy,
right,
for this first miracle of this Eucharist to take place. So I have the article right in front of me here, and it lists the whole lists of, you know, the flesh being the real flesh, the blood is real blood, the heart, the muscular tissue of the heart. The flesh is a heart, complete and essential structure. The same blood type, AB blood type, identical to that which comes from the Holy Shroud of Turin.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Let's see.
Yeah.
Also, the enzyme.
Right. Go ahead. Well, Elaine, quickly, I wanted to share, you being a nurse, you have even a stronger attachment to Eucharistic miracles, and because of your profession, so you get it so clearly of how powerful this is. The interesting thing is, as you were talking, I was thinking to myself, isn't it funny? We as Catholics, we can receive the Eucharist on a daily basis, and to us, it just seems so, you know, it's there, it's accessible, right? And it's so simple. And who was it? Mother Miriam, when we were talking on a pledge drive, remember she shared how God commanded that bread to turn? Remember she said, and the bread obeyed? Remember, and we both looked at each other, and we had never heard of it expressed like that. And it seemed, doesn't it, Elaine? It seems so simple, but that is our God. That's how our God works. And he wants us to be able to enter into the mystery in a very easy way, a very simple way. But in our human nature, what do? We look over that. We ignore it. We think that can't be possible. That can't be right. That can't be that God. We're expecting God to come, like, you know, in a big chariot with, you know, all sorts of, you know, bells and whistles.
Lightning and thunder,
right. So Elaine, you know, speak on that for a second before we let you go, because that's powerful. I think we miss it sometimes because it's almost too easy.
Oh, I literally fell to my knees. And then the next day when I went to work, I was up all night. I was up all night crying. I was up all night just, like, examining the whole thing. Like, my whole life, I thought, oh, my gosh. And then I stumbled upon Carlos Acutis, the now, you know, young man there, and his, you know, desire to just spread this as much as he could, all the miracles, all the Eucharistic miracles. The next day, I went into an elderly woman's home, and she had, you know, her rosary beads over her her lamp. And, of course, the first thing I started talking about was our faith. She was in her 70s. she didn't, and I started talking about the Eucharistic miracles, and she did not know. She did not know, and she looked at me and she said, how could I have lived to age 76 and not have known this? And then it was the most common theme every house I went into. If I had a little sliver of entry into the conversation about our faith, you know, anything that I saw around the house that, oh, she's this woman or this man is definitely Christian Catholic. And I would start introducing that. I couldn't help myself. It was just, I couldn't stop evangelizing. But I couldn't believe how many people in their 70s and 80s had no idea. I mean, their faith was strong, but when they heard the story that I was sharing with them, their eyes lit up and they were like a little light bulb, like on fire with the faith. So all I want to do is, I mean, I've been out on a medical leave for my own health issues, but when I get back, I mean, I have to rethink my whole life. And that's all I feel I want to do is just spread the miracle. And it's just, oh my goodness!
Well, Elaine, sorry to interrupt you there, but you know, everything that you shared is absolutely beautiful, and thank you for being a nurse. Debbie always says nurses and teachers are going to have a special place in heaven, as are many other people. But it is amazing that some people maybe go their whole lives without knowing this. We have a gem, we have a treasure, we have the pearl of great price. Of course, we're not going to hear about these things. I mean, if you looked at a hierarchy of what would be important for the nightly news to talk about, don't you think a piece of bread turning into human flesh and a chalice of wine turning into real blood would be worthy of something on the news? So we're not going to hear it from the culture. We need to proclaim it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Elaine, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. We want to get over to Lee in New Orleans for our last few minutes here. Lee is listening on...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in control of the computer today.
Sirius XM 130. Hi, Lee. Thanks for holding. Got about 3 minutes. Go for it.
Hi. How are y'all?
Good. How are you,
Lee?
Can
you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Good. Yeah, I've been listening to everything. It's all so wonderful and amazing. I'm going to choke up because my story is a personal miracle. That happened to me about 11 years ago. My son was in a Jesuit high school. And we go to the mini schedule night, and around comes a piece of paper, and it says Adoration Friday. There wasn't a name on it. It was the end of the night. And I said, I really don't know what adoration is, but I can't believe this. This has to do something with the body and blood of Christ. I'm going to sign up. So I did. And every Friday, I would witness these young men coming in on their lunch break and prostrating themselves, face to the ground, some of them laid out, and watching them adore the Eucharist. And in my mind, intellectually, I'm a cradle Catholic, born and raised in a very Catholic community. New Orleans is churches everywhere. You can actually walk 9 churches, and we do it all the time on Good Friday, easily. But I knew intellectually this was the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. But in my heart, I didn't really love the Eucharist. I didn't really believe it in my heart completely, just intellectually. So I watched these young men, and I picked up a book by a Jesuit priest, and I started to read. And every week, I would go and learn a little bit more from the book and then just watching these young men. And then my father-in-law got sick, and other things started happening in my life. And one day when I was looking at the monstrous, I could see the face of Christ in the Passion. And I thought, it's the stained glass window. It's a very small chapel. It only holds about 50 people inside the high school.
Got about 30 seconds, Lee. Sorry to do that. Got about 30 seconds.
It's got to be the face of Christ, but it's got to be a shadow. I can't believe it. So I moved a few times in the next 3 weeks. And then I crawled up on my knees and got close to it, and I went into a moment of ecstasy where I could not feel my body. All I could feel was this unimaginable love and peace in my heart that was indescribable. It must be heaven. That's what I thought. This is how heaven feels. This is how God loves me. And he wanted me to know that he is truly present, because I was about to undergo some very trying times in my life. And wow. It changed me forever.
Well, Leah, it's...
What a gift.
You have put a nice little bow and ribbon on top of this part two of our conversation about the Eucharist. What do everybody think? Should we do a part three tomorrow?
They're saying yes. Okay, we'll do a part three.
We've been live on location at Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Sun City, West Arizona today, and we will do a part three on the Eucharist tomorrow. So.
Absolutely. And so Marilee and Bill and the others, please call back tomorrow. Matt Kabinski will happily put you at the front of the line. We'll do a part three on the Eucharist. Tomorrow is also the last day of the year of St. Joseph.
That's right. But it's going to be the... devotion to St. Joseph will continue to grow in all of our hearts, I'm sure, due to this year and other things.
Absolutely. If you haven't been consecrated to St. Joseph, get the book by Father Donald Calloway. It's fabulous. It's a game changer. It's a life changer. It's a spiritual changer. Okay, until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. See you real soon.